Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. I bet y'all didn't know that Ryan can play the organ too, did you? Wasn't that awesome? As always, please do sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors, as this helps us serve our church family and visitors alike. And please join us for our Wednesday Lenten suppers that continue this coming Wednesday, March 15th at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. The Education Committee is providing the supper, and as we continue looking at the passion or suffering of Christ, Pastor Dennis will explain the meaning behind the temple veil that is torn in two. And between now and through Palm Sunday, April 2nd, we are welcoming your contributions for our children and youth to flower the cross during both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock Easter Sunday worship services. We anticipate the cost of 1,000 fresh cut flowers to be right around $1,000 as we transform the black cross of death into the flowered cross of Christ's resurrection. There's a flyer to fill out inside the bulletin. If you have persons you wish to make a contribution in memory or in honor of, please just make your checks out to Berry Christian Church, but also include in the memo line flowering of the cross so it goes to the right account. And our thanks to several members of the church this morning who are filling in for Kathy Connell as she is at home with the coronavirus. All right, may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for going with me. I didn't know I could play the organ either. But we'll do things a little bit differently today. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. The hour is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth.
For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him.
God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Thanks be to God. We'll now sing hymn number 16, all stanzas of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise to Thee an altar, hither by Thy help I'm come. And I hope by Thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wonder how I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above.
Maybe bow for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we acknowledge You as the Creator and the Giver of all things. We give You thanks for this privilege to gather here at Berry with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We know that while we are many, we are one in the body of Christ, and Your word tells us that Your authority is all we need, and that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We pray, O Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit as we worship here at Berry this morning, and we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
We take a few moments to greet and welcome those around us this morning. All right, please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. See by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
It got kind of crowded up here, didn't it? Awesome. It's good to see you all. Do you ever have questions? Do you ever ask yourself questions, hard questions like, oh, how come I have two eyes, but I can only see one thing? You ever wonder? Or how come I have two ears and only one mouth? You ever wonder that one? Or have you ever had an itch in your hand and you go and scratch it, but you can never find the right spot to get that itch cleared? Doesn't that just tear you apart when that happens? But here's the doozy. Have you ever wondered, why is the lint in your belly button, why is it always blue? You ever notice that? I bet half of y'all are going to go home and Google that today, aren't you? And there's actually a physical reason for it. Anyway, this is church, right? So I got a question about church.
why is it that cross up there just above the baptistry is empty? Why are all the crosses here at Berry Christian Church empty? Anybody know? Well, could it be because Jesus ain't on that cross anymore? Jesus was taken off that cross and he rose again, didn't he? Did you know he was only on that cross for about 6 hours and he died and he was put in the tomb for two and a half days? Jesus is only dead for 3 days. And if I'm doing the math correctly, since he was arisen, he's been alive about 738,000 days, give or take a few. So 3 out of 738,000 is not very many, is it? So our cross is empty because we don't worship a dead Jesus. We worship a living Jesus, don't we? Yeah, that's why our cross is empty. All right, can we bow in a word of prayer? Lord God, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping a living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks in his name. Amen.
We're privileged to lift up a number of folks here this morning, and a special word of congratulations as Jean and Betty Lundy will be celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary on Tuesday of this week. Jean and Betty, we just congratulate you. Bless you. 70 years. Blessings to both of you. And Evelyn Prusner celebrated 101 years, and grateful to the Ekrit family for everything they did to put together a wonderful celebration for Evelyn here at the church last night. So that was a wonderful experience, too. Our sympathy is extended to Bob McGee, our interim pastor who was here before me, again with the passing of his wife, Shirley, and Doug and Gail, many thanks for your attendance at the service yesterday at one of our nearby Presbyterian churches. We just keep Bob in prayer. Many thanks to many of you who signed the card, and I'll get that sent to them here, or sent to Bob this week. We want to also lift up Butch Miller. Butch is at North Kansas City Hospital dealing with pneumonia. And, of course, we're lifting up Kathy Connell as she's at home dealing with the coronavirus. And Joyce Osborne is home now, and she's recovering from a right hip replacement. Wanda Ekrit is at Tiffany Springs. She's recovering from a left hip replacement. And Mary Otto is in rehabilitation now at Ignite, which is just west of the church here. And Jacob, we keep your father, Randy Squires, in prayer, as we know that he's making steady progress from his surgery and the health concerns he's dealing with. And Barbara Mayberry will be at North Kansas City Hospital tomorrow morning and having a right knee replacement. And Ron and Karen Kennedy are in our prayers as Ron is going to be undergoing radiation treatments for prostate cancer. That's going to begin the first part of April. Also, Alan and Carolyn Pipps are in our prayers. Alan will be at North Kansas City Hospital this coming Friday for a procedure to help correct the rhythm of his heart. And also, Jake Otto will be at North Kansas City Hospital this coming Thursday. He is having a surgery on his left hip. And Jerry Donahue will be at the Research Hospital on Wednesday of this week for this special interview to get him launched into what we hope will be the process of the kidney transplant possibilities at Research Hospital. We also lift up Vicki Jones, Leonard. We're certainly mindful of her presence in Mississippi as she's dealing with the concerns, especially for the right shoulder. That's the major concern here, possibly looking at additional surgery and concerns with her right toe as well. We lift up Rihanna Ralston in our prayers each week. We also want to lift up Chris Ralston, the son of Ruth Ann Solomon, Chris is having a hip repair surgery on the 23rd of March. So you can see, folks, we've got a lot of our folks who have got a number of things underway here. So let's keep everyone in prayer. May we bow our heads as we lift up a word of prayer to God. Merciful and loving God, we pray that the contemplations of our hearts and the meditations of our minds may indeed be acceptable in your sight as we have entered into your house to worship and honor your name. As we lift up the names of individuals and families dear to us, and as we are also mindful of the great needs of millions the world over, it is with confidence that we know your victory will be won over the concerns of this world. For truly we know that Christ became the victor over sin and ushers in the hope for us to one day dwell in the glory of your eternal realm. As our hearts and minds are challenged daily by evil influences, may we always hold true to our obedience to your will and purposes. For Peter and the apostles tell us in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than man. With whatever challenges may come our way this new week, may we find ourselves drawn to Christ's ways. For the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. For the assurances we have in your word and for the privilege to uphold your authority and the authority of Christ over us, we give you thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh.
This past week, a motorist got his vehicle stuck in deep snow on a mountain road. That was not maintained during the winter in the Willamette National Forest. He knew that he was in for a difficult time when he also realized that he had no mobile phone service in that remote forested region of Oregon. But then, fortunately for him, he looked to the sky and he used the resources that he had available. On his mobile phone, he texted his location and a request for immediate assistance from a genuine and reliable friend. He then attached his mobile phone to his powered-up drone and sent it skyward. High above his location, his mobile phone caught a signal and immediately sent the text to his friend. His friend alerted the appropriate authorities. The rescue team not only found the ingeniously minded yet stranded motorist, but also rescued a second stranded motorist along the route. When our Lord Jesus was facing the dreaded prospect of the cross immediately after the Lord's Supper, John chapter 17 tells us that Jesus looked up to the heavens while he prayed before God, saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And because Christ our Lord looked to God in the heavens, he successfully became the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sins and granted us the gift of life eternal. As we share in the Lord's Supper, and as we go about our daily task, may we realize also that we too must look to the heavens. For we're not only being rescued from our daily troubles, but we are being granted the privilege of eternal life. Our communion hymn this morning is hymn number 386, as we sing all stanzas of "We Come as Guests United."
We come as guests invited, when Jesus bids us dine. His friends on earth united, to share the bread and wine. The bread of life is broken, the wine is free. In solemn token of Christ our dying Lord, we eat and drink, receiving from Christ the grace we need, and in our hearts believing on him by faith we feed with wonder and thanksgiving for love that knows no end. We find in Jesus living our ever-present friend. One bread is ours for sharing, one single fruitful vine. Our fellowship declaring, renewed in bread and wine. Renewed, sustained, and given by token, sign, and word, the pledge and seal of heaven, the love of Christ our Lord.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Jerry leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to join in around this communion table. We ask for your blessing on the cup and this bread, which represents your Son Jesus' broken body and spilt blood on the cross. His sacrifice and suffering was for our sins, which are forgiven, that we might share eternity with you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Colossians 3, verse 17 in the New Testament tells us, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Christ. Thus it is that we give joyously our tithes and offerings, as Peggy leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, we know how to say thank you when we receive. Right now, we say thank you as we give. Bless these gifts for your mission in the world, and bless the other gifts we have to bring to your mission, opening our eyes to see how you are calling us to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Good to see you. You know, if I see any of you nodding off while I'm standing here, I'll understand. You know, in fact, I might even join you. You know, it's always kind of an adjustment, especially the spring forward thing where we lose that hour. That always seems a little bit more difficult than doing the other way where we back up and gain an hour, right? Always seems a little tougher to make the deal. But at least today, it may be a little chilly, but the sun's out. And so we're grateful for that. And so hope you do have a lovely day today in the Lord's house. And Don and Mary Jane Hagen, bless you guys. Good to have you back. Back from Florida. We're delighted you're back among us. And we're looking forward to a number of our folks eventually making the journey back. But I think they're probably thinking that they might have liked to have stayed in Florida at least maybe another week or two, as chilly as it is this morning, right? But we are in that wishy-washy time of the year where sometimes it's warmer and we say, whoa, wait a minute, this is too warm for this time of year. And other times, no, this is now too cold already. So it takes us a while to get things assimilated here. Our scripture text this morning, a short one, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. Set aside a tithe, the tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Then go to the one place where the Lord your God has chosen to be worshipped, and there in his presence, eat the tithes of your grain, wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your cattle and sheep. Do this so that you may learn to have reverence for the Lord your God always. purpose of the tithe isn't because God needs it so much as it is for us to honor God and have reverence for our Creator, to recognize that He is the supreme authority in life. So have you ever wondered, why are there 10 commandments? Why not 5? How about 20? Maybe just make a good baker's dozen, 13, right? Why 10? This is what we find out as we continue our journey of numeric values in the Scriptures. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, for your watchful and attentive care for our physical and spiritual well-being, especially as we are mindful that it is by your great grace in Christ that we've been redeemed from sin and privileged to share in your eternal care, that we indeed give thanks. As we study your word, and especially now the significant meaning of numbers in the Bible, may we recognize your authority over heaven and earth, and even over our lives. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. You may recall that we are in this series of messages where we are looking at the biblical significance of very specific numbers in Scripture. 3, 7, 10, 12, 30, 40, and also 50 during this season of Lent. And so far, we have discovered in the first message that the number 3 emphasizes the totality and unity of God's presence, especially emphasized in the essence of God being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the second message, the number 7 emphasizes that God is holy and complete, represented in the 7 days of creation and also through Christ's 7 sayings of suffering on the cross. Now today, in this third message of this series, we are focusing on the number 10. And in the Hebraic thought, for centuries, and for a level of familiarity that would have certainly been inherent for Jesus and for his disciples and the many other followers, there is a value in the number 10 that would have been familiar to them, and that value is that 10 is representative of God's authority. There are several Old Testament stories that clearly use the number 10 simply to emphasize God's authority over particular circumstances. So you see, there's nothing magical about these numbers, but assigning a specific value and then carrying that meaning through the centuries is God's way of trying to communicate to humanity, hey, I am with you. I am present with you. My mind, my heart, and my intention is being communicated to you through the meaning that's inherent in various numbers. Now, it doesn't mean that every 10 has a certain value of God's authority, but it does mean, for example, here that there are several instances in which 10 is emphasizing God's authority, just like 3 emphasizes God's unity, and of course 7 focuses on God's completeness. So let us begin to look at some of the context in the Old Testament about the numerical value of 10 focusing on God's authority over a circumstance. We know from looking at the Old Testament that there are clearly 10 generations between Adam and Noah. That is in Genesis chapter 6. Then there are also 10 generations between Noah and Abraham. That wasn't happen chance. That is, again, a message from God saying, I am present. My reasoning, my thoughts, my intentions for humanity resonate through these centuries, you see.
And then, when the Egyptian Pharaoh refuses to heed God's command through Moses to let the Hebrew people be free from slavery, we know that God instituted plagues. How many? How many? 10, right? 10. Surely you know the answer, right? 10. That's what we're talking about today. You know it's 10. I'm trying to wake you all up because I know I'm kind of, you know, we're just kind of like this right now. 10. Why 10? Why not 20? Why not 15? Why not just one? Because again, God is communicating to the Hebrew people primarily here, because they would have had some resonant understanding of the value of 10 representing God's authority. Wait a minute, there's 10. I get it. I get the connection. 10 to emphasize that God's authority as the one true God is authority over every pagan god that the Egyptian people worshipped. You see. And as we move further, at the commandment of the 10th plague, Exodus chapter 12 describes how God then established a brand new calendar for the Hebrew people to follow. Now imagine us kind of just going along in our lives, and all of a sudden somebody decides that, all right, from this moment forward, we're going to start an entirely different way of marking time. Do you think we would go along with that? Imagine all the debate and discussion and balking about all that. We have a tough enough time trying to figure out what time it is every spring and fall, right? Imagine here, God was saying, I'm changing your calendar, and by the way, the 10th day of the first month on this new calendar, that is the day that you're going to select the lamb or a young goat for what will become the centerpiece of the Passover meal. And once the Hebrew people were freed from Egyptian bondage, on the 50th day, God instructs Moses to ascend Mount Sinai and receive the law. Now, we're going to talk about the number 50 last. We'll understand why was it 50 days. But we know that from the Pentateuch, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that there are 613 total laws that were communicated by God through Moses to the Hebrew people. However, they are summarized in how many commandments? Thank you. You're a little bit awake now. 10 commandments. Now, again, to emphasize that God's authority reigns supreme over the Hebrew people. Further guidance is given in the Old Testament through Leviticus chapter 27, Proverbs 3, and also the text I read to you in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, that the Hebrew people are to give back a portion of their resources back to God. What's the percentage? The tithe is 10%. Is it because God needs for 10%? You know, every year we always think, okay, so what tax bracket am I in this year? 15, 20-some-odd, 30-some-odd? Oh, my goodness, you know. Well, you know, we muddle through that when we're doing our taxes. Don't you? Or am I the only one? You know, but here, it's not because God needs 10%. It's because the 10% is still communicating, wait a minute, God has authority. And so you're giving back in homage to God, recognizing this authority in your life, recognizing you didn't create all this by yourself. We like to think we have. You know, I'm a self-made person. I've made it all the way, and everything I got, I earned. You know, we like to believe and think that rather than to think that we're in any way dependent upon others. But here, the tithe is to emphasize that God has dominion. The Hebrew word, in fact, for the number 10 is Esser. And in the Hebrew language, we recognize that they often like to have words that have kind of a synonymous kind of sound to them, and therefore there's a sense that there's similar meaning. And Esser sounds a lot like Asher, which is another word that means wealth. Thus, the tithe is emphasizing that we're offering of one's wealth for the benefit of God's purposes, rather than believing that we're totally self-sufficient. And of course, then, there are also several scriptures that certainly emphasize God's dominion and ownership over all creation. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth, with all that is in it. And there are also some minor stories in Scripture where we see an emphasis upon 10 as pointing to God's authority. In Ruth chapter 4, Boaz redeems Ruth and takes her as his wife. But the deal is finalized with Ruth's male relatives by having the customary 10 witnesses who witness and testify to the validity of the transaction. In this period of time, it was believed that the union of 10 elders was an expression of genuine authority, God's authority, not man's authority. And it mirrors the notion that 10 elders is synonymous with 10 commandments and obedience in both cases, you see. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, King Nebuchadnezzar says of the Hebrew men, you remember their names, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and? Thank you. Now I know you're awake. Yeah, and Abednego. And here the text tells us in the 20th verse that he says, King Nebuchadnezzar says, these four men know 10 times more than any fortune teller or magician in the whole of my kingdom. Why 10? Because again, it gives emphasis to the God of the Hebrew people, you see. Then, as we move into the New Testament, there are specific references to 10, still emphasizing God's authority, but with a little, just a bit of a nuance, if you will. We know, for example, that Jesus heals how many lepers? 10. We know that there are, in Matthew chapter 25, the first few verses of that chapter, 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom in that story. We know that also there are 10 talents, also a little further on in Matthew chapter 25, where this is the story where each servant is given a certain amount of resource, but the one who is given 5 talents, if you will, then goes out and earns what? 5 more talents and is so able to give back to the master how many? 10. 10, to again emphasize that here the dominion, the authority belongs to God, not to the servant. And the strongest point of view for 10 in the New Testament, of course, is the fact that in the Gospel of John, on 10 different occasions, we have what are called Jesus's I am statements. Now, you can do your biblical scholar stuff and they'll argue that there's 7. But there is also now new scholarship to say, no, if we look at the nuances a little bit closer, there's 10. So what are they? John chapter 6, 35, I am the bread of life, Jesus says. 6, verse 41, I am the bread that came down from heaven. 6, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. 8, verse 18, I am he who testifies about myself. 10, verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. All of these points are to emphasize that in Christ there is godly authority, you see. The I am statements are there to add emphasis that Christ is indeed the living Savior for all of us. All of these examples in Scripture and others point to a very deliberate intention on God's part to communicate subtly to you the significance of His authority over creation, over time and destiny, and certainly over our salvation. Right? And so I ask you today, what does all of this mean for you and me? We must be challenged to humble ourselves, to willingly be receptive to God's authority in our lives. And surely the most succinct way we do that is by making our confession of faith, believing that in Christ we are redeemed. So I ask you this morning, do you know Christ as Lord? If you don't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 699, Rejoice, the Lord is King. We'll sing all stanzas, please. 699.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, the risen Christ adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. God's reign can never fail. Christ rules o'er earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope, for Christ our judge shall come to glorify the saints for their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say,
we thank you all for being in the Lord's house. And Ryan, many, many thanks for your assistance in a multitude of ways as we make our transition here this morning. A reminder that Angie Bounds is to begin as our organist on Easter Sunday, which will be the second Sunday in the month of April. She was not able to begin earlier than that time frame simply because she had a number of other obligations already on her calendar. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart from your house, may we be empowered by the guidance of your Spirit, and may we humbly put ourselves before your presence, knowing that you are indeed the great authority in our lives day by day. Guide us as we strive to be a living witness in all we do and say. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. With a shepherd's care enfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet, till we meet.